Thanks, guys. What a welcome. What a welcome. Crikey. I've never been welcomed like that in my life. And, I mean, I remember, welcomes. Welcomes are important, though, aren't they? Don't you think? I'll take my glasses off here. Welcomes are important. I mean, I remember when my sister came over with her husband. We hadn't seen them for something like 15 years. You know, can't afford the air flight money and all that. But they come over, and we'd just been doing some renovation work. And we had a concrete floor that was just setting. And when they came into the house, they ran over that concrete and went, surprise! And I went, what have you done? What have you done? You've just ruined our concrete. What a welcome that was. So welcomes are important. So thanks for that. Now, I'll tell you what, we're really blessed, aren't we, being here for the evening service? Because I don't know about you, but I think the Holy Spirit just comes big time in the evening. He really does. There's not an evening that I don't come here and go, look, I palpably can sense the Holy Spirit is raining down on this service right now. Absolutely. So, God, I'm just praying. Don't just rain down on this service, but rain down into people's hearts, Lord. Rain down into my heart, Lord, so I can reflect your will, Lord. Let everything that I say, Lord, be of yours, Lord. Let it just be like gold, Lord. Greater than gold, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, fantastic to be here, and I feel very privileged to be up here. Hope you can all understand my accent. And we'll be talking of which, I'm going to mention a fellow called Isaiah. I mean, how do you pronounce it? Let's have our hands up. Do you go with Isaiah? Put your hand up. Or do you go for Isaiah? Put your hand up. There you go! Hey! Isaiah. Yeah, eh? You've confused me now. All I was going to say, you know, what you Australians have done to the English language, it's just unbelievable. Oh, dear me. Anyway, before I... Okay. Look, there's God, and then there's us. I mean, pretty simple statement, really, but it's a really important that we catch on to that. There's God, and then there's us. God's not like anyone. God's not like me, not like you. Okay, we're made in his image and all that. But God is so far beyond what we're about. You know, so we really need to keep that in mind. And Isaiah, he had one of those visions where he got a glimpse of who God really is and how far and above he is above us. And he had a vision, and I'm not going to read it because I think many of you would be familiar with it, with the, you know, the train of his robe, you know, filling the whole room. You know, you could hardly get past it. And you've got the seraphim with the wings everywhere, and the corner posts are shaking, and we've got holy, 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 which is not three holies; it's just shouting loudly. So, and you've got then all of a sudden, there's that realization from Isaiah. And he all of a sudden thinks about himself. Do you know, have you ever been in that situation where you're in a pretty high power situation, you've gone in to see your boss, or you've gone into a job interview? Who's been in a job interview where, you know, you're focusing on the interviewer, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about yourself? And as soon as you start thinking about yourself, you start getting a bit nervous. Well, with God, multiply that a million times. Multiply that a million times, because with God, Isaiah went in there, and all of a sudden he realized how unworthy he was. All of a sudden, he realized, you know, woe is me. I am undone. I've got unclean lips. And what am I doing here? You can imagine falling flat on his face. God, you know, I just realize now, if I didn't before, who I am. And this is a fellow who would have read a bit of scripture. This is a fellow who would have, you know, he would have spent a bit of time in communion with God, thinking, yeah, he knows God. But when he got that vision, when he got that glimpse, and there's been few of those in the Bible, that's why they're really insightful and important for us to grab a hold of. He never said, oh God, I've had a bit of a rough week. Oh God, you know, can you just, you know, just make sure I get that job done this week. Make sure you protect my family. Make sure, like, you know, do you think he had a shopping list? You know, do you think he had a shopping list in his back pocket just in case he got that vision? I know, when I get that vision, I'm going to pull this out. I'll be ready. No, it wasn't like that at all. It wasn't like that at all. So God, there's a God, and then there's us. You know, we're so blessed. We are so blessed. We inherit so many promises from the scriptures. And we just need to grab a hold of those. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "We have the mind of Christ," which is pretty, you know, that's a hard one to get a hold of. But whichever way you look at these scriptures, every spiritual blessing we have and the mind of Christ, I think that puts us in a pretty good position. A pretty good position to be getting to know God. A pretty good position to be taking our eyes off ourselves. A great position to be putting our eyes onto the mission of God. Yeah. Our prayer should be, "I want to bless you, God." Prayer should be mixed in with worship. I think the two words, there should be prayership. I reckon there should be prayership, and we need to all get onto that prayership. I reckon the prayership, here we go. And, you know, my parents were, you know, 10-pound pommies, and they came on a wing and a prayer. You know, so maybe that was a prayership in their life. But, mate, we need to have that, you know, not getting to, you know, the prayer session, get that our little shopping list out, but get into a spirit of worship. Get into a spirit of, "God, I love you." Get into a spirit of, "God, I can't believe everything you've done in my life. It's remarkable, Lord, that you've taken me, a sinner, and you've just really made me into a bright light in this world where I'm able to shine onto it and reflect your love." What an awesome thing that is. "Live through me, oh God, and the glory is yours as you do." For many people, though, it's a different story. For many people, it's nerve-wracking praying in public, if we'd be honest with a lot of people. Nerve-wracking, not only in public. For some, it's nerve-wracking just when you're in your small cell groups and, you know, you've got your little circle and it's steadily coming around to you. And I think some people's hearts are beginning to beat when it comes around to them. Especially when you're at the end of that queue, you know, because everyone's taken all the good prayers, you know. You know, we'll pray for, you know. I want to pray for my dad. You know, I was going to pray for my dad. Oh, dear, what am I going to do now? You know, and you've got to come up with that really spiritual prayer when it gets to you, you know. And so that's why I always get at the end of the queue, actually, because I love that. But anyway, it's nerve-wracking praying in public, but often it's not because you're fearing God, but because you're fearing people. I think it'd be great if we were praying, trembling in front in God's presence, nervous to come into his throne room, going, "My goodness, God, I can't believe I'm speaking to the Creator here. I'm really nervous. I'm kind of tingling and, wow, is it Holy Spirit? Is it you or is it just me being nervous?" But I think, to truth be said, I think most of us are going, "Hang on a minute. I hope my prayer's pretty good here. I hope I don't make a fool of myself. I hope, you know, and to be honest, I hope it doesn't get round to me." You know? Now, there are some exceptions, of course, like me, and there are some exceptions where they can't stop. You know, "Oh, you don't want to pray? Well, I'll do your prayer then. What was it? You know, and, you know, I'll do your prayer." Okay. So there are some of them. I think somebody was talking about the 80-20 rule this morning, you know. And there are 20% of us that will just keep doing it for everyone. And, you know, praise the Lord for that. Praise those people. Excellent. But, you know, we don't have to impress God, do we? We don't have to impress him. And yet in our prayers, we can sometimes fall back to "bless us, be with us, watch over us, protect us, forgive us for our sins, you know, bless the missionaries, and then use me for your service, amen." And amen usually means, in our language, goodbye. And hope that God didn't quite get that last bit, you know, service. And, you know, that was just when God was getting a bit excited then. You know, Jesus was on his throne, he was nearly getting up off his throne. And he was going, "Man, you talked about service. You were getting into your prayer. But you just said amen there at that point. Ugh, never mind. He'll still work with us. He will still work with us. He's omnipresent in his fullness. Here, there, everywhere. I mean, we hold our hands up. We're told to in the Bible to lift our hands. Praise God. You know, we're taught to lift our eyes up. Lift your eyes up. Hold your hands up. It must be up there then. Well, the truth is, he's up there, he's down there, he's in here, he's everywhere. But, you know, in Psalms 33:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on the inhabitants of the earth." So we can be excused, I think, for getting that impression that he's kind of up there. And he's like a grand air traffic controller. And he's looking at all the little dots on the earth here. And he's, you know, having a check of them. And as soon as he sees some that might be colliding or some event in your life that might be on your collision course, he's just tweaking you around a bit. Just so you can go around that little tribulation in your life. Just so you can go around that little test in your life. You don't want to meet these alcoholics down the street, you know, because that's really bad. I'm going to get you going. I'll make you go down around the street. You might be going down a one-way street, but never mind. Now, and it's easy for us to get that impression that that's all he's doing. All he's doing is spending all, you know, I'm thinking, well, he hasn't got a plan. All he's doing is just making sure we're okay. All he's doing is making sure we're protected. That's his mission. That's God's mission in life. Could be a mistaken belief that we could get a hold of if we're not careful in our prayer life. Again, if you could be Isaiah, just imagine you were him. Just imagine you had that vision and you could ask God what you really wanted. You know, and you've got this, and you know that your life is, you know, you just get this realization that your life is just a vapor. And just imagine you're him. And then you just go, look, no more pain, no more sorrow. I just want to have a good life. And look, I'd be the first to admit, I think those words would come up into my mind as well. But we've got to look beyond that. In Sunday school, and I went to Sunday school. I remember going to Sunday school in my Sunday best. We always had, you know, there were shorts, even in England when it was cold. Shorts and the jacket, like a suit, with a tie, done up. The grease, we never had air products then. We just had like grease where, you know, you got a perfect parting going down here. And our parents would send us off to Sunday school. And we'd learn a lot of things. We'd learn that God always comes through. He always comes through. We got the stories of Daniel thrown in the lion's den and God came good for him. Jonah, my goodness, that's a big testimony, isn't it? You wouldn't want to be on after him, would you, given yours? You know, Jonah got swallowed by a whale and yet repented and was saved. God came through us again. Moses told the Pharaoh, let him go. Well, we all know that. What happened there? The waters killed the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And they had a bit of a party afterwards, didn't they? All good. God's coming through. Green lights. Grand controller, green lights. David went up against a huge giant and ends up cutting off the head. Great. Joshua led the people into the promised land, marched around seven times, walls fall down. Gee, God is coming through, he's coming through, he's coming through. Three guys, and I'm not going to try and pronounce the names, were thrown into a fiery furnace. So hot that the men who threw them in died. And yet, you know, we believe Jesus met them in there, and they came out not even smelling of fire. You know, we're not denying these works of God, these miracles of God. They are beautiful. We need to really meditate on them. We need to go, God, can you come through and have a miracle in my life, in this relationship that's going stale? Can you please come through and give me a miracle? In my health, can you come through and give me a miracle? And you're going to have your Joshua moment. You're going to have your David moment. Praise God. Praise God. However, you've got to have a balance in your perspective. You've got to have a balance. You've got to have a balance. You've got to see that there is another side. There is another. God's got a purpose for you that might not involve your protection. It might not involve just looking at what's in it for you, but rather what's in it for the kingdom. So we can look at people like Job. You know, just as Satan, you know, Satan accused Job and he accuses us. And in Revelations 11:10, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength from the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night. Them being the kingdom people, Christians. He accuses Christians before our God day and night. him or his cohorts accuses us to God. They were kicked out of the kingdom of heaven, weren't they? But they come back, trudging back, trudging back. Can you imagine the angels? And not, you can imagine, like, not too happy. What are you doing here? You know, we'll kick you out. We're accusing your people. We're accusing them. We've got a lie, and we're going to tell a big lie, and we're going to keep on telling it. I get angry about that. I don't know about you, but when I read that, there's a devil up there doing that day and night. I get pretty angry about it. And I don't know about you, but it makes me want to worship God. It makes me want to say 24/7, God, I'm there. I'm going to be part of this kingdom that's going to be knocking on your door, giving you praises, not accusations. We're going to be saying to the devil, get lost, devil. You're a big fat liar. Yeah. So, Job, he got it all back in the end, didn't he? And more. That's what we love to hear in a church. Job 42:11 though says, then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Did you hear that last bit? And comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. You know, we have all these victories, and God surely fulfills these victories. But there's also times when God is going to allow you to suffer. He's going to take his hand off your life in whatever area it may be, and you're going to go through those tough times. I think Job learned a lot from that experience, and I think we could too. 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. According to the will of God. Let all those who suffer according to the will of God. It does happen. In Hebrews, it says, and others were tortured. Others, Hebrews 11, this is, they've just been through talking about all the men of faith in the Old Testament. But then they say, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings? Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain in the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Even though Hebrews 11, you know, why just announces to the world all the men of faith and the great miracles that God has done, we're still reminded of a lot of people who had to go through a lot of stuff. And again, I think if we can just grab a hold of that, that God's purposes are not always going to be that victory. God's purposes are there to use all things for good. Some of these Old Testament heroes then lived, but not a lot of the New Testament guys lived. And look, I'm not going to go through these now, because of time, but we can see, I mean, Jesus is obviously number one, you know, and he gave us how to pray sort of format when he was in trouble. You know, he said, but not my will but yours. Look, God, I don't want this to happen. If this could be done any other way, please now tell us. But God said, no, it's got to be done this way. The Father said, it's got to be done this way, and he went, okay, you know. And that's what we've got to get a hold of that. Okay, so there's a mission going on, and we've got to get a hand on that. Some things are more important than our protection. You know, sometimes we could say there's a mismatch between our lives being built on the foundation of people who have died for the faith, and if it's okay, can you just protect me, oh God? There's that mismatch. On the one hand, we've got men of faith who've been through a lot of stuff. And on the other hand, we're going, God, but just protect me, would you? Just protect me. It's difficult to catch on to God's big story when we get home and we're having a chicken or a chili. You know, what are we going to have tonight? You know, what program are we going to watch? It's hard to get our heads into the game and understand that the whole world is weeping. And most of the people on the planet tonight don't know Jesus. The church is turned into a luxury liner. I've got to give Louis Giglio this credit for this one. The church is turned into a luxury liner on a Mediterranean cruise. when it was intended to be a battleship in a broken world. Our Father, who art in heaven, gee, we love him, and he loves us. But it's not always going to be that miracle coming through when you want it at your timing with your protection. In a broken world, we're going to be touched by suffering. Somewhere in the world, someone's suffering. We know in Nigeria, you know, we've had a heap of Christians killed there. In India, the stories, people killed there, you know, and we're lucky we don't suffer that persecution. But in these last days, I've got to tell you why, we are increasingly going to be suffering some sort of persecution. Romans 8:14, I'll finish on this. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, if indeed we suffer with him, not nice that, is it? If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there is another part to this story. There is a glorification process. We're going to go from glory to glory to glory, but there's going to be suffering as well. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in what? In the battleship, in the people, in the battleship. The glory of God is going to be revealed in you, in me, as we go through these times of troubles, as we go through the storms and the battleships going forward, as we see our enemies ahead of us. We are going to be the light on that situation. Amen. That's it. Thank you.
Fantastic, Pete. Yeah, band just... join me now. It's fantastic to have my wife.